Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Thanks for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, we're going to talk with Jonathan Camus, longtime reporter here in the Orange County area, works with OCVarsity.com, and we're going to talk with Jonathan about his career and a lot of the good stuff he's covering as well right here in the Orange County area. We're also going to continue our baseball previews here in the Trinity League as we talk with the head baseball coach out at Orange Lutheran High School, and that's Eric Borba, and we're going to hear about the Lancers, another top team this season in the Trinity League and nationally as well. But we're going to kick off the show this week by talking with Rick Thompson. And this esports thing is just gathering so much momentum, and we had to include it here because we are a sports show, and esports is a big thing. And Rick Thompson is the head of the program out here at Modern Day High School. Coach, thanks for joining us this week right here on Catholic Sports View.
It's nice to be here.
Obviously, you know, esports is not a traditional, you know, sports. We're not talking about playing football, putting on the pads, you know, those kind of things, but it still is playing, and it's a fascinating look at the video game industry and what's happening right now within video games. Tell us how this program got started here at Modern Day, and I know there's a bigger program, you know, countywide as well.
Right. We can talk about kind of esports quickly. Some people ask where it should fall, whether it really is an academic program rather than a sport or a team. The thing is, it does share perhaps more in common with sports, because the skills needed are very, very much dexterity, coordination, timing, focus. These are skills generally associated with sports as opposed to, say, the chess team or something like that. There's also a huge communication element, because these kids don't play on their own. They play on teams of five and against each other teams of five. And if you don't communicate well, your team struggles. So it's an e-sport. We call it e-sports for a reason. The program got started here this year, as did the countywide program. The Orange County Department of Education and UCI are jointly running it this first year. And the game they chose to run with in this first year is League of Legends. And so we have two League of Legends squads here at Modern Day. We have a teacher, a general manager for each team, and then I'm the coordinator for the whole program.
You told me before you run the video game club here at Modern Day, so I guess it was just a natural progression to take over this program as well?
Absolutely. The video game club essentially cobbled together enough interest for one team, and then some students who played independently also got interested in the program, and essentially we got a second team entered in the competition because of them. It's not really an A and B team, it turns out. They really are just two teams that work well or sometimes not so well together, depending on how things are going.
When you talk about the competition, you know, this side of it, obviously you get a chance to play, I guess, you know, your classmates, but now it's a chance to get out and play other schools. So it really is a school versus school, you know, competition factor here.
Yeah, absolutely. The matches are scheduled for Wednesday afternoons, unless both teams agree to a reschedule. And we play other high schools. The only difference between this and normal sports is we are in our library playing, and they are on their campus playing. But then they are communicating with each other and essentially battling in a communal online environment all at the same time.
Rick Thompson joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. He is the coordinator of the esports program here at Modern Day High School. And it's fascinating to me because, you know, we cover sports here. Well, you know, this really can be classified as a sport. I mean, do the kids involved in it feel like, you know, they're competing in a sport, maybe not as athletic as some other sports, but there is still a sporting aspect to it.
There's a sporting and heavily competitive aspect to it. They take it very seriously. We have practices. Mm-hmm. They have to come to practice. If they don't come to practice, they don't play. And also they have to be the same rules that apply for sports, we apply for this. So if they aren't at school, then they can't come to the practice or to the match. You have to be present. We do all the same things that we do. And I coached Modern Day soccer last year. We still, you know, pray before and after games. We still are going to do a service project. We are a full sport, essentially. We've even been asked by the school to walk in the spring sports assembly, which is the big rally, and this is a modern-day rally. These are huge.
Right.
This is the rally when all the teams for that sport, for that season, walk in. And so we've been asked to walk in it. So modern day is taking it very seriously as well.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. What kind of skills does it take to be a good gamer?
First and foremost, experience in the game. Mm-hmm. There is a huge element of timing. There's a huge element of attention to detail. And then I mentioned this already, but the communication element is big. We have two teams. One team is half students from local middle schools and stuff like that, but then half are students, actually international students from China. And the international students are spectacular. But, you know, we haven't been winning every game yet because we haven't figured out the communication element of it. So communication is extremely important, and we find out as the weeks go by, we're now halfway through the regular season, that communication is just as important as the other skills.
Rick Thompson again joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week, the head of the esports team here at Mater Dei High School, also in charge of the video game club, which is how this kind of all got started. Speaking of getting started, you know, this league now around Orange County, I mean, I looked at the list and the number of schools involved is staggering now. Everybody seems to be jumping on board, and I'm sure there's more and more as we go on here, but how did the Orange County, education district, how did they decide, hey, this was something, you know, we kind of really need to pursue here?
Well, I think it was a lab at UCI or a group, mm-hmm. a research group at UCI that proposed the league idea. And UCI, I think they have a competitive team and they offer even scholarships for prominent esports players. So again, they're recruiting esports players, as are other schools. So I think they came to the Orange County Department of Education with a very solid proposal, and they got the partnership going as well with the game, the company that makes League of Legends, which is Riot Games over in Santa Monica. We're visiting Riot Games later this month. Just as a school, we're taking a group over there just to see how it all works. That's how it got started here. It was really, I think, UCI coming to the Department of Education. And then they've run with it. The schools that are involved, there are a lot, but there's still a lot that haven't jumped in yet. In fact, we're the only private or Catholic high school involved. I think there's 26 schools in it. Every other school is a public or public charter. And so what we're hoping is some of the other Trinity League schools will jump in. We always look forward to those rivalries that have been along for so long.
You want to see Santa Margarita jump in and get that rivalry going on that level as well.
We absolutely do. And some of them have video game clubs, and so I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. You're right. As I said, it's growing probably as we speak. Do we see the corporate community obviously seeing this and ready to jump in and maybe support this community?
It's heavily sponsored this year by Riot. I imagine as they branch out, the league has indicated that though we're starting with the game League of Legends, which is made by Riot Games this year, next year it could be multiple games and could be new games. It doesn't have to be League of Legends again. So I don't think those decisions have been made. There are very popular competing games. They may even get more corporate interest because if Riot's got their game at the high school level, I'm sure the other makers are going to want their games in at the high school level as well.
Yeah, I see that as I'm sure is a big possibility down the line here. A lot of these tournaments, you can see they're televised. There's so many people that are part of putting on these big tournaments. Is this kind of the direction it's going? Are we going to see professional game? We're already seeing professional gamers, right? I mean, this is already a thing that's happening. Is this something that's just continuing to grow as we talk about it?
I think that's where this is all headed. So first of all, there are a lot of professional gamers, huge followings around the world, just, you know, essentially within the community, the gaming community, just as famous as anywhere else and in any other sport. And I think it's only a matter of time before some of those top gamers get more general notoriety. As far as the professionalism of the game here, I do think with ESPN and various other sports outlets televising esports now, the more that happens, the more the game will be promoted at the college level, and it's already growing at the college level, and the more it'll grow down here. And here's the crazy thing that people don't realize is that because esports is so reliant on your skills, your eyesight, your reaction time, your dexterity, esports pros generally retire by their mid or late 20s. esports pros go pro in their late teens or right as they turn 20. So our students here are closer to pro age than many of our athletes. And yet our athletes are thinking about pro contracts already too. And so this is a good time for students to be playing this competitively. And that's why I think one of the reasons why it's getting started.
When I was a kid, you know, my parents would tell me, stop watching TV, get outside and play. Now with the new, you know, generation, you know, it's, hey, put down the tablet, put down the game, whatever, the Switch, all that. Put them down and get outside and play. But we're encouraging kids, right, to learn things, you know, from gaming and from this esports thing. I mean, what are things kids can learn from this and how can you make it a healthy thing?
That is a key element of this, because any time we start something like this, which is new and different, and especially since it goes against some of our common notions of what a healthy time spent as a kid is, I think it's good to be clear about what is so positive about this. And first of all, there's nothing that can take the place of getting some good physical activity. And so there's nothing that should take the place of school and stuff like that. And what you'll find generally is that the students that are involved so far actually do have a pretty good balance. Many of them are very good students, and some of them have sports or martial arts or something like that outside of school. So you do need the balance. But as far as the learning goes, video games have always fascinated me because of how quickly people learn to play them. They are an education marvel. And the main reason is, the immediate feedback that you get when you do something wrong in a video game. When you do something wrong in a video game, you lose points, or you lose some life, or perhaps you fall down a hole or something like that. You have immediate feedback that you can then try again and correct. This is an education ideal. This is what we try to achieve in our other classes. This is what I try to achieve. I teach calculus and statistics. I want to give immediate feedback to students because that's when they learn the fastest. And that's what video games provide. So they're wonderful learning tools. And so as long as they're seen as learning tools, and as long as the team aspect of it is kept positive and seen as a, you know, let's work together, let's build our discipline and stuff, then you get a lot of the same benefits that sports and other things like it, other teams like it, can provide.
Yeah. Are you finding more students coming in, more interested as they learn more about it?
Yeah. So our matches are going, you know, they're being announced just as the other sports are. And so as students find out about it and the word mouth goes around, I'm getting lots of contact and emails. It looks like there's going to be a doubling or tripling of the program next year in terms of involvement.
Wow. And any buzz around that more schools are going to get on board with the league?
I haven't heard anything specific. This is kind of an aside, but the video game club, which is not the esports team, the video game club is hosting its first ever tournament. And we're hosting it on a small movie screen here for another game that's very popular. We've reached out to some schools, and I do know that, for example, some of the Trinity League schools are interested in that sort of game. So I don't think it's going to be long before we see far beyond the involvement that we've got now.
Well, this is a fascinating area. We're going to keep up with it here, and we're going to watch it as I know it continues to grow. I want to thank you for joining us this week and talking to us, and I know we've just scratched the surface. We'll talk to you more. Rick Thompson, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll have a little bit more right here on the program when we come back. Stay with us right here on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Fridays? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Let's kick off the show this week, and we continue our baseball previews in the Trinity League by talking to the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School, and in charge of the Lancers is Eric Borba. Coach, thanks again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always excited to talk Trinity League baseball, and baseball season's here. You know, I'm a baseball guy. I'm excited. Jimmy G is in the studio with us, too. He's a baseball guy. We're all excited for baseball season. I know you are, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after last year, you know, it ends and it's kind of, you work all year and then one game elimination in the playoffs and you get beat and you're thinking, man, it's so long till the next year, but it really comes quick. So we're excited.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned it right off the top. It was going to be one of my questions, but let's hit it right from the top. Are you one of those that's in favor of that single elimination, or do you think there's something that could be tweaked there where, you know, in baseball, hey, you know, you should have a couple of games maybe to decide who that champion is.
Yeah, I'm strongly against a single game elimination. Yeah. I think, you know, you play 30 games or so in the regular season to kind of work for the playoffs and get there, and to have one game at the end where there's a lot of things that are out of your control or one small mistake, you know, really ends your season quickly. And I think kids and coaches work too hard to get there. And then, you know, in Southern Section, you don't even have an advantage necessarily with home field or anything, depending on your seed. So I think there's a lot of ways that we could tweak it to make it better, but at the same time, it's tough at the end of the year when kids have finals and they're graduating and everything else. So I think CIF is working on hopefully trying to change that. I know next year they're moving the season up a couple of weeks. So
right.
Hopefully the long-term goal there is to open up some time at the end of the year for a longer playoff system.
Yeah, and you're right. And the Southern Section has done a lot in the recent years with across the board with a lot of sports to try to get things on a better plane. And hopefully with baseball, you know, we can get there and, you know, maybe even get a true state championship someday.
Oh, that would be great. I know it's tough, but there's a lot of good teams out there. It's always, you know, it's always interesting, especially when we go and play other teams from other states, to say we don't have a state championship. So hopefully someday it gets there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, a season ago when we talked to you, the Lancers were the one of the top ranked teams in the nation. You know, obviously it was the sky's the limit for Olu last year. And then you guys hit a couple of bumps in the road, and everything didn't turn out the way had planned at the beginning of the year. You still happy with what the season brought to you a year ago?
Yeah, you know, I think there's some disappointment there. There was a lot of good times, you know, and going back to North Carolina, winning the NHSI was mm-hmm. a great experience. It's something that we'll never forget. The season definitely didn't end the way we wanted to. We really hit a tough stretch there. When we came home from North Carolina, we had to play the next day and got beat in extra innings, and it kind of just, we seemed to go in a tailspin and never could get it together. And as short as the season is, you know, unfortunately, that one game elimination came, and we weren't playing as good a baseball as we would have liked to at that time. It ended short.
Is that also part of being a coach? Is, you know, part coach, you know, part second father, part school psychologist? You know, trying to figure out how to get kids, you know, high school kids dialed in on a daily basis.
Absolutely, you know, motivating them and keeping them there. You know, especially last year, we had so many kids that were high prospects and Division I kids. It was really a difficult season for us, keeping kids happy and keeping them motivated to come to the field every day. And, you know, I think we learned a lot from it. This year we have a group of seniors, only six seniors, which is the smallest senior class we've ever had. But, you know, I think they're bringing a lot of that experience that they had there last year and to the team this year. And we're going to try to find a way to keep guys fired up for the remainder of the season, not just for a few weeks at a time. It's more of a marathon and not a sprint, and yeah. I think guys understand that.
Yeah, so true. Eric Borba joining us, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. The Lancers have just started the 2018 season. We'll get into the schedule in just a couple of minutes, but you bring up a good point. Obviously, you know, to have all that top-end talent means, you know, you've got some great players, but I guess conversely on the other side of it too is, you know, there's some outside pressures, outside attention that comes in and it kind of works their way in, and sometimes that doesn't always work to a team advantage, you know, when certain kids are getting, you know, a lot of that national attention.
Right, absolutely. That's definitely the focus. You know, our kids have a lot of things going on the outside, and teenagers in general nowadays have so much just with, you know, school and their social lives and their spiritual lives and parents' pressure, and it really is difficult. So we're taking that approach this year that, hey, we're going to make it fun. When they're on the ball field, that's what they're there to do, and we're going to put the other stuff aside for those couple of hours we're practicing or playing a game, and really stay focused on the job at hand, and understand that this is an opportunity for them. It's an opportunity, something they're going to remember, to, you know, be able to tell their kids and grandkids one day, and something that they can look back on and to put that focus on those couple of hours that we're together. And we'll deal with the other side out, you know, other stuff outside of practice and games.
You mentioned, you know, the spiritual side. That's such a huge component at Orange Lutheran. Is there an opportunity then at that point just to maybe take the team, kind of stop for a second and say, hey, look, guys, let's refocus and let's kind of let the Lord work his ways here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our whole mission is to bring the glory to God. And a lot of times we have to reflect on that and understand that it is a gift and a blessing that we have the opportunity to go out and play baseball and to do the things that we do at such a high level. And just to be around such a community of believers is, you know, something that these guys are going to use to become great fathers, to become great men in society. And that's the bigger focus. It's more than just a game and what we're trying to accomplish out there.
And that's really from the beginning, right? I mean, when a student chooses to come to Orange Lutheran, I mean, that's part of what they're coming there for, correct?
Yeah, no doubt. We make it clear when kids come on campus, come visit our school, come talk to us at our, you know, Meet Olu Athletics Night, whatever it might be. You know, we want to make sure that families know what they're getting into, that it's a big part of what we do. And we have families from a lot of different, you know, religious backgrounds. And no matter what, we're going to stay focused on what our vision is at Orange Lutheran. And in our baseball program, it's a big part of what we do. We have daily devotionals, you know, before our athletics PE class. We have Bible studies as a team. We do a lot with team dinners where kids are leading devotions. And it's just, it's very involved in what we're going to do. And we want kids to be comfortable in that. You know, not all of them are going to preach about their faith, but we want them to be comfortable, learn more about themselves, learn more about their faith. And again, that's bigger for them to be in our program. It's not just about being a good baseball player. It's about becoming a better man, a better Christian.
Yeah, and it's so unique within the Trinity League is that, you know, with all the schools being faith-based schools, I mean, it's okay to pray before the games. Everybody does. It's a good time as fellow Christians to come together.
Absolutely. You know, just about every game, well, every game in the Trinity League and every home game that we play during the season, we start with prayer before the national anthem, and it's a great opportunity for just our community to come together.
Yeah, really true. Really true. And then it's one of the unique things about the Trinity. A couple games that I mentioned into the season, just I think you're 2-2 or somewhere along the those lines. You getting a feel for this team so far? You mentioned it's not a very senior-heavy team, but still a lot of talent on this Lancer team.
Yeah, absolutely. We got off to we played our first doubleheader on Saturday against Dana Hills. So we split that doubleheader. It's tough to win two games in a doubleheader. And I think we got beat in the first game, and it really came down to lack of execution. It's something that we're focusing on. And you know, I think we were a heavy favorite, if you ask the Orange County baseball world, going into that game. And we got humbled right away. But I think it was a good learning lesson. I mean, our kids brought the right energy and the things that we need to see. We know that nobody's going to go undefeated, especially in Orange County, through the season. And so every time we fall down, we want to learn from it before we get back up. And so hopefully that was a great opportunity for us this weekend to prepare us for what's ahead.
Yeah, obviously, what's ahead is the Trinity League down the line, obviously, and that's huge to try to get through there. We'll talk about the Trinity, but I think it's important, right, for all the teams in the Trinity to have a pretty strong non-league schedule to prepare for that gauntlet.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to schedule the best that we possibly can. You know, Max Preps, one of the high school, you know, services that does stats and schedules and shows results from games and whatnot, has a strength of schedule rating. And we're always in the top 10, as well as most of the teams in the Trinity League across the country. We play some of the toughest schedules. And we try to prepare ourselves for what we're going to see. And again, it's preparing guys for the next level, because they're going to go to college baseball. About probably 90% of our kids are going to go on and play at the next level. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Play the best that you can, and let's see what we're made of.
Does that help that you know these kids have a bigger picture in mind, you know, that they want to play college baseball? Does that make them buy in a little more, dig in a little bit more, that they know there's a future in it? It's not just, hey, I'm going to play for a couple years in high school and that's that?
Right. No, I think absolutely. This becomes a lifestyle for them. You know, these kids want to play at the highest levels, and they got to understand when they go to college and they're playing 50, 60 games a year, and they're having to manage their academic workload as well as our personal lives. This is an opportunity, although we only play around 30 games, it's still condensed into a pretty small time during the season, and they got to learn how to manage those things. So absolutely, it's preparing them for those next levels.
You know, the Trinity League, as we just mentioned, is crazy. I mean, a year ago, obviously everybody knew Bosco was a pretty good baseball team, obviously lots of talent. I don't think anybody thought they were going to be end up being the league champions like they ended up being. Does that just kind of show you how any given day in the Trinity, you know, some team can rise up? There's that many good teams in this league.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, it's a 5-week season. So the team that gets hot for 5 weeks can win it. Every one of the six teams in the league is very competitive. And if you don't show up to play for a 3-game series when you're playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, it's a 4-day span, 3 games, and a couple things don't go your way, or a couple of your guys are in a slump, or maybe a pitcher doesn't have, you know, his best outing, and all of a sudden you're chasing. And the mental game is tough too, because you lose game one of that series, and all of a sudden the guys start pressing a little bit. And I think that happened to us last year. You know, we got swept in our first series when we came back from North Carolina by Bosco, and that was kind of what happened for the rest of the season for us. We just never seemed to be able to get it back together.
Was that really an eye-opener for the kids?
Absolutely. Things change. We were 12-1 when we came back from North Carolina last year, and things were rolling, and I think guys started to get a little complacent, maybe us on the coaches as well. You know, got a little complacent, and you get humbled real quick in this game, and we saw that last year. So, again, it's something we constantly talk about with our kids coming to the ballpark, with each day being a new day and trying to get the most out of that day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jay Sarah ends up having the kid who's the number one pick in the Major League Baseball draft, and, you know, they can't even win the Trinity League. So that just shows you, do you ever just look around and go, wow, look at all the talent in this league. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's fun. We talk about it all the time. You know, the coaches in the Trinity League have a pretty good relationship with each other, and we all talk a lot. It's just fun. You know, we have Don Barbara and Sean Gilbert. We're both college coaches, you know, and it's as competitive in the Trinity League as it is anywhere. And it's just a blessing for us to be able to go out there and work with such talented kids and really try to hone their skills in and prepare them for life.
Eric Borba, Olu baseball coach, joining us. When you've had the chance to go out nationally, you mentioned North Carolina a year ago, and you've had a chance to kind of go around, does it really solidify really how good baseball is in Southern California? I mean, you've played some great teams, obviously, other places, but just shows you the concentration of talent here, I think.
Oh, absolutely. We go to North Carolina. This will be our fourth time we're going in a few weeks, and you know, it's one of the nation's best tournaments. Mm-hmm. They try to get the best teams in the country, and we go out there every year, and the competition's great, but I'll tell you can take any one of the six teams from our league and go out there, and I believe every one of them would be competitive. They've had that tournament, I believe, 6 years now. This will be the seventh year, and of the 12 teams in the finals, 11 of them have been from California, and 5 of the 6 winners have been from California. So just really talks about the strength of, you know, the quality of baseball in Southern California.
Yeah, so true. Once again, it's Eric Borba, the baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School, who's joining us this week on Catholic Sports View. Ed, when you go into a new season, obviously it's a mix, right? It's some kids that are returning. It's a new group, but is it the same message, you know, a clear message from the top over and over again?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, the big thing that we talk about all the time is playing for something bigger than ourselves. We're playing for the glory of God. We're playing for a team. And really it's about the team's accomplishments, not the individual. And I think that in today's day and age, these kids are raised in a very individualistic society. You know, everything they do growing up in travel ball or showcases, those things, is all about, hey, what have you achieved? Where are you going? What are your skill sets? You know, and that makes it even more difficult for a high school coach to try to understand that, hey, these kids probably haven't really played for a championship per se as a team. They go to tournaments and try to win tournaments, but as far as an overall championship, so it's a different focus that they haven't had. And that's something that we spend a lot of time on, trying to get them to understand that, hey, it's about everybody having a role and making that role their own and really being focused on what it is that calls for every day.
Well, we know, obviously, this is a team that will come back from North Carolina, I'm sure, focused. An eye-opener from a year ago, obviously, and they'll be ready to hit the ground running when it comes time to play in the Trinity League. And we're looking forward to seeing what the Lancers and everybody can do in this great Trinity League season. Coach, we want to thank you for joining us this week. We wish you luck, and we're ready for the Trinity in a couple weeks as well.
Hey, I appreciate it, Bob. We're looking forward to it.
That's Eric Borba, the head baseball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. Stay with us. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
to the place called the Skull. They crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Therese. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Fried Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
Let's welcome into the program Jonathan Camus. He's a freelance reporter all across Orange County. You've probably seen his work with the Orange County Register, still doing some work with the Orange County Register and some other shows around Orange County. Jonathan, thanks for joining us this week on the program.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You've been on the scene for so many years, like so many of the rest of us. You know, we've all been in the battles together, covering high school sports across Orange County. You know, wanted to talk about your career and kind of what you're doing now. How did you originally decide you wanted to get into this crazy business?
I know, that's a great question, right? Graduating from Cal State Fullerton, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go straight to the pros. I'm going to cover the Lakers, and I'm going to cover the Dodgers, and I'm going to cover the Angels. I quickly found out that wasn't feasible. So a great route to that was high school football, right? High school athletics.
Absolutely.
You get to learn the game. You get to learn the game up close and personal. You're right there on the field. You make contacts with the coaches. You learn about the game more than you ever would probably at other levels. And it's just been a blast so far. I love covering high school athletics. Sometimes people don't believe me when I say I have a better time covering high school than I do at the collegiate level, whether it's USC or UCLA, or covering professional sports because of the access you get, because you're right there on the field, because of the pageantry, because of the environment. All of it. I love high school athletics.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. I know people go, oh, don't you want to be covering the Angels? Well, sure, those are fun, you know, to get out there once in a while and cover that stuff. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the personalities you meet, the kids and the parents and the coaches, you know, there's just still such a purity. I think it's the last place where you really have that purity of competition on the high school level.
Absolutely. And nothing's better than getting a phone call from a parent or someone telling you on the sideline, thank you for what you do. And I just tell them, thank you. Thank you for providing us these stories. And it's our pleasure to somewhat promote your children, promote the team, promote the community, because that's what it's all about. It's a hyper-local level, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I know in my time, you know, covering it, and certainly I'm sure in your time covering it as well, high school sports has changed a lot. You know, I mean, it was kind of a hometown thing, but really there's become a whole national appeal to covering prep sports.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I was just talking with a couple of videographers and an athletic director recently about their teams broadcasting their games nationally. And there's a whole network that does it. Whether you're a fan of Mission Viejo and you live in another state per se, you can watch their games nationally on your computer. This is the day and age we live in 2018. So things have changed in that regard for sure as far as streaming radio, streaming live. I mean, technology has changed the world, my friend.
Yeah, no, you're... It's so true. Well, when I started in this, we didn't even have cell phones. So, you know, that's how old I am. That's we still had to go find a payphone somewhere to call in results sometimes.
Hey, I remember using payphones to call my parents to pick me up from the movie theater. I know what you mean.
Fryer will have some of those stories as well, I'm sure. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. He actually used the abacus in school and all that fun stuff, you know. Fryer, don't get me started.
Oh yeah, no. We'll swap some Steve Fryer stories here in a couple of minutes. But Jonathan Camus is joining us, a reporter in Orange County on the high school for a long, long time. I know you've seen his work in the Orange County Register, all that great video work that you do. And I know it became a real component of the OC Varsity section in the Register is having that video component, and you really led the way in putting all that together there.
Well, thank you, Bob. I take a lot of pride in being a part of what really made OC Varsity so special. And I think that I think it's fair to say that at the time, in its heyday, OC Varsity was right up there as far as best high school websites across the nation.
No doubt.
I mean, we had a real good team working there. Writers, photographers, columnists, guys who kept stats on Friday nights, guys who did the phones. I mean, it was a really big team effort, and I was just happy to be a part of it, especially on that video component.
You continue on. You're doing some work in South Orange County as well, the South County Sports View. You know, there's still lots of programs out there. You know, you hear about the demise of the newspaper and how, you know, places are downsizing and all that. But, you know, high school sports is still a huge thing, and you still see a lot of coverage of high school sports. There's still a place, you know, for guys like you and I to do our thing.
Yeah, let's keep hoping it stays that way, Bob.
Absolutely.
You know, and we were talking about technology earlier, and I think, you know, that's actually brought up more press and more videographers, more photographers, more writers to the games because, I mean, you've been around the business a long time. You can remember probably a CIF title game 15, 20 years ago with a certain amount of press there. Now you can probably triple that. I mean, you see videographers from every website. Some you haven't heard of, some are YouTube channels. I mean, people are all over the place, but I'd like to stress that what we do is journalism. What I do is journalism. I work with the Orange County Register right now on a freelance basis, so I'm providing content in that nature. I'm not providing a highlights tape with music in the background. You know, I do my homework, and I do try to provide some information on the athletes that I do cover.
Yeah, and you do a great job of it. That's for sure. Did you always know that this is kind of the area? You wanted to do sports reporting. Was that really always the goal for you?
Yeah, it's a good question, Bob. You know, back in the day, my family would always laugh at me because where I'm at now, because I was the videographer for all the birthdays growing up when I was a kid. I had that over-the-shoulder camera or the camcorder. I just loved shooting video. I really did. So here I am now, still shooting video and being in front of a camera and reporting. I did kind of know. I think it was in the back of my head. I wanted to get involved in sports, and I'm really happy to be where I'm at now covering high school athletics, as we're talking about, and I've had the good fortune of covering some big stories in the collegiate level and, of course, professional sports, like covering the World Series and NBA Finals. It's really been a thrill.
Jonathan Kamis is our guest, freelance reporter across Orange County, doing work, as we mentioned, with the Orange County Register, OCVarsity.com, as well as the South County Sports View down in South Orange County.
Sports Zone, Bob.
Sports Zone, I'm
South
sorry. County Sports Zone. Got to get it right. My apologies to all my friends over there. Gordon is part of that as well, and Eric, guys we've known for a long time who've covered high school sports in this area. South County Sports Zone. Let's make sure we get that right. You know, this is the area. This is the hub. I mean, we're lucky, right? Southern California. We got the reigning football national champion. We've still got the reigning basketball national champion, Bishop Montgomery, even though they got beat this week in the semifinals. But, I mean, this is the area where it all happens. I mean, we're lucky to be covering stuff here.
You're absolutely right, Bob. It beats covering the high school sports in Idaho, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it could be a lot worse. No, we are extremely fortunate to cover the caliber of athlete that Southern California brings. I mean, whether it's L.A. County, Orange County, the Inland Empire has had a lot of great athletes come out of there the last 10 years or so. You got Centennial of Corona over there, and, of course, the emergence of Chino Hills. And Orange County, of course, where there's just been a hotbed of talent. Look at modern day. I think they signed 6 players to Division I schools or more than that, and a couple to USC. So that's a football factory over there.
Yeah, it really has become that. It's been that way for a long time, and it's certainly come back. You know, modern day is the reigning national high school football champions. And I think that's part of the fun I've had is watching the careers of kids start as young high school kids and then seeing them mature up to college and then some of them eventually to become, you know, professionals. And that's fun to have been able to start covering their ride from their young days.
Absolutely. It really is a thrill, right? You could say, oh, I knew Sam Darnold since he was 15 years old.
Right.
You know, I know Matt Barkley since he was 15, 16. So, yeah, covering that rise from high school athlete to collegiate athlete to professional, I mean, it's really something. It's cool because you were there in the beginning. You were there to see their mistakes. You were there to see them learn. You were there to see them with their teammates, how they adapted and how they've grown, not only as players but as men.
Now, you know, we talked about Steve Fryer earlier, and you got to learn at the foot of Steve over the years. He's the dean, obviously, of high school sports reporters in Southern California. Guys like him and Eric Sonheimer, who've been doing this a long time. You know, back in the day, I'm not sure everybody thought, you know, covering high school sports would be a beat you'd want for a career, but it really has become something where you can make a great career being a reporter covering prep sports. I mean, that you know, as we've talked how big it's gotten, that's become a big-time beat.
Yeah, it has in the past couple years, and I hope it continues to do that. I know there have been some cutbacks recently with some reporters, so I root for all these guys. I want everyone to have a job. I want everyone to make money doing it, and I want everyone to be happy. So, but speaking about Steve, I've learned so much from him, and he's just been so gracious with his time. I mean, we've done the OC Varsity Gridiron Show, and it's been a hit for us as far as at OCVarsity.com throughout all the years, and him and Dan Albano, got to shout out Dan because this guy, he works as hard as anybody. This guy is tireless. He has a schedule that's unmatched. For those two to do the show with me every week, they don't have to do that, Bob, but they do that because they love to do it. You know, they're doing it with me, and they want to showcase the players. They want to showcase the community. And you can't get any two better pros than Dan Albano and Steve Fryer.
Well, the three of you together, you're right. You guys have really taken that OC Varsity and made it one of the top sections, and it's a must-to. You know, anybody who doesn't know it, OCVarsity.com, if you're following high school sports at all, you know, that's the first stop you want to make when you want to get all your coverage. Do you have a favorite story over the years? You know, favorite athlete, favorite team that you've covered?
Oh, man, that's tough to say.
I know, right? I get that.
You're putting me on the spot.
I know. Some people ask me that question sometimes, too, and I go, man, how can I narrow it down, right? It's tough.
Right. Well, I could tell you some moments that I'll never forget. One in particular, Garden Grove football. I know they lost a player, Kevin Tellez, a number of years ago, and that was heartbreaking to be around that team. But they rallied around him. They went to the CIF championship game. They lost that game. They lost that game to La Mirada that year. But they played their hearts out. It was a raining night at Orange Coast College. It was a dark night. but they were playing for Kevin. I'll never forget the pageantry there. His brother was on the sidelines. They had a big banner for him. And I think they learned from that game, because what happened the next year, they won CIF.
Yep, they did. You're right. That was one of those great stories. I got a chance to cover that run as well. What a time that was for Garden Grove football. The part of the fun too is seeing maybe programs who haven't had the success in the past come up and become, you know, so some of those are the greatest story. We get to cover the Trinity League a lot, and that's always fun. But
right. Sometimes
when you see a team, you know, a program, you know, kind of come up out of the ashes, you know, that's just as fun.
Of course, we know the big programs, and we know how they get to be so successful. But yes, the schools like a Garden Grove, like a Sunny Hills, you name it, those teams that really have to grind through adversity and get through a lot of troubles, whatever it may be, to see them succeed at a high level, I mean, that's pretty satisfying, not only for us, but of course for them as well.
Yeah. Do you find as well that the neighborhood school is still vibrant, still alive and well in this day of, you know, parochial schools that seem to be getting all the headlines?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I know we've had some critics over the last number of years that say we focus too much on the Trinity League schools, and especially modern day. I think we do focus on the smaller schools. Obviously, we do what we're told at the Register. but hey, listen, modern day, for any critics of them, I mean, if they're the national champions and they're one of the best teams ever, and Bruce Rawlinson told me this, that this was his best team he's ever had,
right?
And it took me what, 6 months to pry that out of him, but he finally told me that on camera. It's on a OC Varsity YouTube page. You guys can check it out. But for him to say that, and for us to not cover them extensively the way we did, it would be a disservice to the county. It really would, especially with the amount of talent that they have going to the next level. But going back to those smaller schools, if you will, the community schools, there's always a place for that in any kind of high school coverage. And it's important to make sure that these kids that aren't in a high-profile school get profiled, because sometimes they're just as good, not just maybe even better than a lot of the private school athletes.
And I know you probably feel the same way about this as well, is that, you know, one of the fun parts about our job, too, is that every year it's a new crop of athletes. It's a new crop of stories that we get to cover. It's not the same old thing. There's new stories to be told all the time out there.
Yeah, it's a cycle, right? So that's why sometimes I feel bad for beat reporters for professional teams. I'm like, how many stories are you going to do on Mike Trout? I get it. He got married this year. What else is new? So, that's what's cool about covering the game at this level. Well, like you said, Bob, it's something new every year.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, Jonathan, we want to thank you for joining us here on Catholic Sports View. We wish you luck, and we're going to continue to follow your coverage throughout these years as well, because you've been doing it at the top level for a long time, my friend.
Thank you, Bob, and same to you. You've been doing it longer than I have. I'm not trying to make you feel old,
no.
But you've been doing it at a great level, and I want to say, hey, thanks to you and thanks to your coverage and your team for everything that you do.
Hey, we appreciate that. Thanks so much. That's Jonathan Camus, a freelance reporter out there, OCVarsity.com. Make sure you catch him there. South County Sports Zone program as well. We'll have more on Catholic Sports too when we come back right here on Relevant Radio.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Thanks again for joining us this week, right here on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith. One of the great sports writers in Southern California, longtime prep sports writer with the LA Times, and that is Eric Sonheimer. Eric, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View.
Thank you very much.
How many miles do you put on your car every year? Because it's got to be a ton.
It's at least 15,000. We'll see. Hopefully not more than that. Otherwise, the insurance prices go up.
Right. You know, let's go back in your history a little bit, and we're going to cover a lot of stuff here, because I'm really glad we have you on, because so many of us that cover high school sports, you know, over the years for a living, you know, we have you to look up to, really, because you've really, you know, set the path for a lot of people in covering high school sports in Southern California. When did you first get a high school beat?
Well, I appreciate that. I started right after I graduated from Poly High in Sun Valley in 1976. I started training for the Daily News and also working part-time while I attended Cal State Northridge. John Elway had just moved to the area, Granada Hills, so when you get to see a future Hall of Famer as your probably your first ideal athlete, it's pretty good.
Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth? Did you always figure you were going to get into reporting in some way? Did the newspaper bug kind of bite you early on?
Yeah, I always liked newspapers. I wrote for my school newspaper at junior high, also in high school. But there was a moment in after I graduated from Cal State Northridge that I actually was offered the sports information director's job there. And I had not been hired full-time at the Daily News, so I wanted a job. And luckily, the Daily News decided to offer me a job, because I really didn't want to go into sports information. I really like newspapers more. And so that's how I ended up staying in newspapers and avoiding going the PR route.
Much more creative to be able to tell stories. Is that really the whole thing? I know personally, you know, I always tell people, you know, I'm a storyteller. That's what I love to do. So many other people that way are, you know, is it the same way for you?
It is. It's creating something out of nothing, but it also bringing forth some inspiring stories that people can spiel and also uncovering information that the public should know about and making a difference. And it's always sometimes it's difficult to try and weigh the two, but I grew up in the time when all the president's men was out there, the Watergate affairs, and when newspaper people were heroes, you know, and did a great job, and that was pretty inspiring to see the difference that people could make in uncovering corruption and all that stuff. So that's kind of the background that probably inspired me to really want to become a reporter at the time.
Did you think that would be your beat, maybe? Did you want to kind of be a Woodward and Bernstein kind, or were you always a sports guy?
I liked politics. I was interested in government. I was also possibly going into teaching, but then you find out what you have to do to become a teacher, like learn math a little bit better. And as most journalists will probably say, they're not very good at math, but you probably had to pass a math test, as I recall, to get a teaching credential. I hated the geometry and all the rest. I had a C. That was a sign to me that I don't want anything to do with statistics a whole lot. Ironically, now those are very important. But you have computers and other things that help you along the way. But I always enjoyed trying to find things and to interview people and test them out. And it's one of the challenges. You never know if somebody's not telling the truth. That's only gotten worse, unfortunately.
Right.
But, you know, it's just part of the profession. And the key is you just keep checking. You never give up. And you try and be as accurate as you can and have credibility. Your credibility is the most important thing, that you do your best and you try to make sure everybody understands that you're just doing your job and you're trying to be fair and accurate.
Yeah, that's so true. Eric Sonheimer joining us, longtime prep sports writer with the Los Angeles Times. You know, the tools that you use now to report are much different. You mentioned computers, you having a laptop in front of you, a cell phone. Those are things that when you and I first started in this business, we didn't have those kind of luxuries. You had to go find a payphone somewhere sometimes to get your story in on deadline. Have the tools made the job that much easier?
Yes, for sure. I mean, remember when I first started, you ran to the phones, whether it was the PE office or sometimes you were originally carrying like a 25-pound computer that was hard enough to carry around. And now, obviously, you have your cell phone. You could actually run it and send in a story. You have smaller computers that you're going to use for downloading video and tweeting and doing blogs. Basically, it's become multitasking. The technology has helped people do multiple things at once. It's taken away jobs from people because you could be the photographer, you can be the videographer, you can be the blogger while you're writing your story, and that's what I do. It's multitasking and various things.
I notice you do a lot of video work too. You'll put video posts up on the Times as well.
Right. The big key was a couple years ago when the Times asked for volunteers to learn how to shoot video. I had never shot video in my life. I was scared to death. But the week class taught me how to edit and gave me great instructions on how to shoot video with the importance of what you're looking for. And now I love it. It's a way of telling a story. I probably shoot more videos than anybody in the LA Times. I don't think anybody else is shooting videos except the ones who were hired as videographers. But to me, it was really important because that was a time where people were getting laid off. And if you made yourself more valuable and more versatile, and you can be multitasking, there's no way they're going to lose you. So if I ever get laid off, you'll know that the apocalypse is hit, because I probably fill so many different roles now for people that it would be quite interesting. But that was my idea, you know, to try and keep improving even when I was in the early 50s and stuff, age. So that's kind of the key for everybody, is you want to keep improving. Even though they don't pay you more for doing that, you got to do it if you want to be part of the new technology and the new way of covering things.
I always thought you and Bill Dwyer would be the last two standing over there, and you're the guy now, right?
I don't know. Dwyer's gone, but he's still working and stuff. It's still fun. It remains fun as long as you get to keep seeing exciting athletes. And it gets frustrating at times because people make stupid comments and things like transfers constantly trying to ruin what high school sports is supposed to be about are always something that you have to look at and you have to decide, you know, behind the scenes what's really happening, but you have to report the facts. So those are some of the frustrations that you get.
You know, you have a unique, we're talking with Eric Sondheimer with the L.A. Times. You know, you have a unique position in that you cover, I mean, everything, L.A. County, Orange County, Riverside. You're all over the place. Most guys have one section to cover or one county or whatever. You've got everywhere. How much more fun does it make it to be able to pull a story from almost anywhere?
Right. It's a really good point because I never thought that it would be fun. I worked for the Daily News from 1980 to 1997. Except for a brief period when I was with the National Sports Daily. And so I thought that was important. It is important to be local, to cover your community well. And so then I went to the LA Times and suddenly I had a much bigger audience. I first started with the Valley edition, but then I ended up being overall. And I was surprised how it made things easier because you could pick and choose. And that was the key. There's an incentive. It is a little bit harder in that you have to find a story that resonates beyond just the person's family. But to me, it's a lot easier. I get to pick and choose the best of the best. So if there's somebody really good in Orange County, I can make a story the people in L.A. County and San Luis Obispo County would be interested in. That's the secret for trying to do it when the Times has cut back on high school sports colors. Again, we used to have these additions for the various areas, and those went away. And so now I'm pretty much the last of the Mohicans as far as in the high school staff. So you have to really look for stories, again, that are going to resonate with beyond just the school people itself. You want to get more people involved, and that's why it's important to pick and choose and find stories of top athletes or inspirational stories or other things. So you put your mind in the mind of the readers. There's some things that I don't like, but you have to, again, think what would the reader like, not what I would like.
Right.
And I think that's one of the mistakes that people make. They try and say, hey, well, this is great, but who cares if the reader's not going to like it? So it's really a challenge because there's certain sports I like and others that I don't. But, you know, I'm trying to think of what would be interesting to people.
It's so true because you have to convince somebody that they're going to go pick up the newspaper that day or log into the website to read what you're doing. So many changes in the newspaper industry, of course, over the last, you know, decade and a half, I suppose. But it seems, though, that people still want to find out what's going on in their neighborhood schools, what's going on with their local athletes. I mean, there still seems to be people that want to read that prep sports page.
Right. I think so. The challenge, again, is the advertising. Even back when I first started, people were reluctant to advertise for high school sports. You had a certain amount, but never enough that it's going to be the key part of a newspaper. It's still professional and college that sells the advertising. At least those are the people who tell me, and I kind of agree, but I also think you need a component of a local component, whether that's, again, UCLA or USC as the local thing. And also what's become is these high school kids are going to those schools, so that becomes part of the component. One reason why recruiting coverage has become so big for a lot of websites and others, again, that's a local component. And so you have to combine that and keep developing. And then, of course, the Internet has changed everything. You can monitor things from when I go on trips overseas, like nobody knows that I'm not in the Valley or I'm not in Orange County, but I'm really in Bangkok or somewhere. But that's the way things are, and it makes it easier because I actually can get away and still, with the help of a phone, getting text and other things and a computer, you can still cover your beat. But don't tell anybody that. I still do cover when I'm on vacation, but I shouldn't be doing that.
It's so true.
I want to thank all my guests this week, Eric Borba, Jonathan Camus, Rick Thompson, and Eric Sondheimer. If you want to catch this show or any others, just go to OCCatholic.com/radio. All our podcasts are cataloged right there, and you can listen to any of the shows. And at Catholic SV is our Twitter handle. That's at Catholic SV. Give us a shout-out on social media as well. I am Bob Gibson. Thanks once again for joining us this week on Catholic Sports View, where athletics meets faith.
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Therese. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Freed Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.